Hey, good morning, family. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to remind ourselves of a great truth that our God saves.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that
we go.
Our God saves. Our God saves.
It's good to see you. Good to be back. If you can't tell from my hat, I've been away for a little while. Not really from Sunday services, but just out of the state for a little bit. We had an awesome time at camp. We're going to talk about it more later. We're going to sing this morning about how every good thing comes from God. If you were at camp with us, you know we saw some really good things this week. So let's lift it up together.
For every battle you've won without question, for every lie that you silence with love, we acknowledge you in every victory, Almighty God. For every promise you kept in the valley, for every burden you lifted with ease, we
Times of joy and times of disappointment, but in all those things, seeing God's faithfulness consistently. So as we sing this next song, this song also backs up that idea that we see God's faithfulness every day. Even when we don't believe we see it, we're still seeing God's faithfulness in all of our days. So He is faithful. He's worthy to be trusted. Let's remind ourselves this morning.
I came to You with my heart in pieces, and found a God with healing in His hands. I turned to You, put everything behind me, and found the God that makes all things new. I looked to You, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trust in You, stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause You're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you're the God of all my days.
Constant battle.
God alone, my only hope, the cornerstone. Through every trial, or fire, or storm, all else will fade, but God alone. And I rest in God, and God alone, my only hope, the cornerstone. Through every trial, or fire, or storm, all else will fade, but God alone.
Amen. Rest in you this morning as our only hope. Lord, we do look back and we think and we reflect and we remember and we see your faithfulness. Lord, we look back even particularly on those times where we thought you were unfaithful and we see your faithfulness. We see your goodness. Lord, and for those of us in this room who have not or are struggling with seeing your faithfulness this morning, God, I pray you'll remind them of the truths of your word, that your love, your steadfast love, endures forever, as it says in Psalms, that your faithfulness endures forever. This morning, let hope rise in our hearts as we remember your love, your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Well, hey, good morning, family. It is good to be with you guys. Children, you are dismissed to children's church or kids' church, excuse me. And we pray that you have a good time there, that as you hear your lessons, may retain some of what you're hearing. The earlier you can learn it, the better. I heard a quote this week that we are developing some of the habits in our current years that we're going to be trying to break. Like for students, you're developing habits in your teens that you're going to be trying to break in your 20s. Lord, I am praying that you guys are developing the habit of understanding and loving God's word and wanting to read it regularly, because that would be a great habit to keep in your 20s. You don't have to build it into yourself. Okay. Or ask the Lord to build it in you. Well, how's everybody doing? It's good to see you guys. I miss you all the time. I do. I miss you for about 6 days a week. I miss you. And then I get to see you again for one whole day. 1.5 hours. I get to see everybody. So good to be here with you. I got a couple of announcements. Then I get to talk about something really, really cool that I got to experience this week. So I believe if I'm right, the first one is that we have donations that are needed for Adventure Camp. Yeah, we do. So if you check out the slide, there are all kinds of cool post-its for the things that we could use donations for. The donations are needed by August the 6th. So hot dogs, buns, cereal. Oreos. I would take those too. I will take cereal and Oreos personally. Drop them off in my office. But we're gonna be serving dinner at Adventure Camp, and so we want to just have that, provide that well. It's really fun to hear God's word and not hear your stomach growling at the same time. So we want to just be able to provide some kids with some dinner while they come. So there's at the information table right outside this way, you can grab a post-it for the thing that you are going to be willing to donate. So many hands make light work. So we're going to work together and do that. Okay. There, the men's cookout is coming up on August the 4th. That is always a super fun event. I'll make sure I got that date right. Did I get that date right? Cool. August 4th. That's always fun at Frost Farm. 5 to 8. Men and sons 12 and up are welcome. And this year will be, we're going to have the Bob Wilson Cornhole Tournament. It's going to be a blast. I'm going to lose in the first round, so come laugh at me. That's fine. But we're going to fry chicken, hot dogs, sausages. But check this out. Last names A through L. Bring a side. Last name M through Z. Tristan, I realize they do this on purpose. Bring a dessert because they know I'm not making the dessert. So hook me up. Yeah. So last names M through Z. Bring a dessert. $5 at the door. It's always a good time of fellowship, guys. Like, I'm not underselling it. It is, or I'm not overselling it. It is a great time of fellowship. Come and hang out. It's going to be excellent. And then, lastly, if you're wondering about how to give to church, check out the slide on the screen. There are a couple different options here. You can give in the drop box at the sound booth, online, perryhallchurch.com. You can get that set up. Also, through the church. No, I don't think it's through the Church Center app. We do this one. But you can also send it by mail, and the address is up on the screen. So if you're just wondering how you can give, the Lord has been gracious to our church, and he's been faithful. And so we just want to continue to be obedient as fellow members here. And so we want to be obedient to God and just give him of our first fruits. So let's do that together if you're wondering how to do that. Cool? Cool. If you're missing any announcements, please do email Lori at the office so you can get on the church newsletter and get all of these announcements plus more there. That will be great. Okay. Now, I get to talk about something really fun that I got to do this week. As you can see from my hat and my shirt, I picked up some new stuff. You don't even know how many t-shirts I have left over from the weekend, but or from the week. But I had a really good week. Matter of fact, if you're in the bonfire, did you have a good week this week? Yeah. Yeah. And did we not learn that Becky Laws and Tristan Matthews are absolute monsters at tug of war? Yes, we did. We found out. So if I can get the leadership team that went up to Student Life Camp to come and join me up here on stage. You've seen them around. They're wearing some really cool black shirts that we got while we were up at camp. But while they're coming up, if you could give those guys a big round of applause. And I mean a big one. Like, seriously. Yeah. So I'm joined on stage by seven of my favorite people in the world, and my boss is behind me, and he went on the trip too, so I had to do things well. But this year was really cool because for the first time, Pastor Chris and Miss Suzanne allowed myself and Tristan to lead camp, like lead our journey going up to camp. And that was really excellent. You know how like if someone hands you a weight, like you kind of feel how like oh, they lift that. Like I don't lift that, right? And so it was really cool to like get that responsibility from them and to be able to lead. Just an awesome team of adults, but also a great group of 52 kids over to Cedarville, Ohio. And if you've heard some of the reports, some of it's trickling out. While we were there, we had 10 students make first-time professions of faith. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty great. Yeah. And we're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to worship the Lord for a long time. Like, my heart is full because of that. But what I want to shout out these guys, because when you go to camp, I don't care how big your group is. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And it's you get up there, and it's fun, and you sweat, and you run around, and it's great. You take 4,000 pictures. You get about 400 of them online. It's really, really cool. But there's just a lot. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And because of these seven people, right, I think it's Peter that talks about, like, making leadership, like, not making it a burden for your elders and the people that are leading you. Like, these seven people make leadership for me like an ease and a joy and a lightweight. They are excellent. I would put this team of small group leaders up against any team of small group leaders that was at the camp that week. And not like competitively, but like these people, each one of them, I am, well, you know, you can't interest me in losing. But these seven people, each one of them built a little bit differently, but each one of them sold out to love the Lord and to get students closer to Christ, like however that works. And so like, in their small groups, like just amazing things happened. I don't even have all the stories, but amazing things happened. They did an awesome job. Each one of them loved on their group of students in a really special, unique way that caused a lot of just special breakthroughs. That's why you get, like, that's not exactly why you get 10 people who make decisions to follow Christ. That's because of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit works through these people and their gifting really, really, really well. God has really equipped us with some awesome leaders. So I'm just really thankful for them. So if you could give it up for them one more time, that'd be really great. And praise the Lord for them. They're awesome. I got a million and 12 funny stories that I could share about camp. But I'm not going to share all of them because I'd be up here for a while. I'm going to hand things off to my boss and let him share whatever's on his heart.
Okay, is that awesome. Cool? Yeah. So I just want to say we're going to have another moment up here in a second. But before everybody leaves, I said this to the kids. So Suzanne and I, Suzanne is my helpmate in every way. We handed this ministry over to this guy and his wife a better part of a year ago. And I was explaining to the kids, like, you guys, remember that first time you handed over your baby? And for some of you, you haven't done it yet because you're like, I ain't handing my baby to no one, right? And so about 9, 10, 11 months ago, Suzanne and I handed over our baby over to Kenny and Tristan. And we trusted them then. But I just want to just say a public thank you. This guy is killing it. The kids. The kids enjoy him. The kids trust him. They go to him for counsel. More than one time, I've been in the room in those moments, and I would hear what Kenny says, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I meant to say. That was really good. And so God is just growing him in his wisdom. And then, like, there's just a zillion details which are exhausting to move 60 people to another state 8 hours away. And Kenny and Tristan and the team really worked together well to make that happen. Now Siri's talking to me. Shush, Siri. I just want to say I am grateful to Kenny. And there's something if I could just be transparent, there was something different about camp this year. And I think that it's tempting to say that every year because the Lord brings something fresh and new. And so I don't know what the point system is, but it felt a little bit different. The fact that we had 10 people who are 10 of our students willing to stand up and say, hey, I'm ready to take the next step. That has not historically been what it's like been like for us at camp. And I think there's a lot of cultural reasons, some good and some not so good, why we were there. But that was a breakthrough. And that accrues to Kenny and his the leadership environment that he's given, because those kids felt free to be transparent enough to say, I don't think I get it, but I think I do now. I think I understand, and I am attracted to Jesus. I don't care who looks at me when I stand up in that moment of decision, that altar call type moment that camps are kind of known for. So a public thank you to him, a public thank you to Jesus for what he's going. We have a lot of great stories. We'll pray over some of the names here in a minute. But we had a blast. And if there's any of you out there that are like, hey, I want to be around the energy of what it's like when a young person comes to Christ, it's happening over there regularly, and we would love to just have you check it out and see if it's a good fit for you. So thank you, Perry Hall, for investing in this ministry. It's expensive. It's expensive to take that many people away. Someone here needs to buy us a bus. It would save us a lot of money. Buses are ridiculous. And also hands one of these people a bottle of water after the service. It was 86 degrees in the back of the bus the entire way home. Who was on that bus? Who was on that bus sweating your tail off? So, like, that was not a lot of fun. So we suffered for the Lord, checking the block. So anyway, thank you for indulging us as we come back with a victory report. And it was a joy. It was a joy. And we all slept and had zero productivity yesterday as we recovered. So, all right, everybody back to their seats. We got another thing coming up. We also, there are a few people that we left behind who also we could not have done camp without. And Kenny was just reminding me, Kathy in particular, where are you, Kathy? You're usually up there. Oh, yeah. She's not here. Okay, well, Kathy, I see you. Kathy, we appreciate you very much because she takes care of a million details that kind of launch us off too. So the next fun thing we get to do, and we've been trying to do this for a while. Tom's come up to me several times and say, hey, we got to do this, and we're going to do this again in the future with the kids. But I'd like to call Nate and Maddie up to the front because they have something really great to share. We're going to have a missions moment. We're going to just talk about something that happened in their life that was, I'm going to give you this one. And I'm going to talk on this one. Does that work? Okay, awesome. So Nate and Maddie, it was the end of May. You guys have been home for about 6 weeks. And I think a lot of us know the adventure that you just came back from, but some of us don't, and they weren't tracking that. And so, Maddie, would you explain what you guys were doing from about mid-August, where Chuck and Jody and Suzanne and I were in a hotel in Atlanta, and we tearfully gave these two a hug, and trusting the Lord and everything he was going to do, we sent them halfway across the world, or all the way across the world. Tell us what you've been doing.
Yes, so we have been part of World Race, which is a Ministry of Adventures and Missions, their gap year program, where we spent a month in Georgia for training and then 7 to 8 months traveling to 3 to 4 different countries to share the love of Jesus.
So, what were some of the things that you got to do, some of the places that you got to visit at least?
I was able to go to Cambodia, Thailand, a country called Lesotho, and South Africa and Guatemala, and did a wide variety of things from teaching English to evangelizing to kids ministry to service at schools, and it was just such a blessing.
Where did you get to go, Maddie?
I went to Nicaragua, the Dominican Republic, and Eswatini, previously known as Swaziland, and I helped participate in sports programs, evangelism, a lot of children's ministry, and we went to hospitals, went to the dump in Nicaragua, and hosted church services. So it was just a very much variety of what we did.
And then domestically, before you left, I know, Nate, you work with Samaritan's Purse, doing some disaster relief, some flooded areas in Kentucky that really we've long forgotten about because there's been more disasters since then. But you saw some devastation there, right? And some hopelessness that some people that really needed the hope of Christ. And Maddie, did you have any other experiences like that, like, you know, before you left, before you guys launched?
Yeah, I was at Samaritan's Purse.
Same spot. Okay, mm-hmm. Awesome. So really eye-opening, right? Life-transforming.
Yes.
So I asked, we're not going to be able to talk about 9 months in 5 or 10 minutes, right? That's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair to everything that God was doing. It's not even fair to you. But I asked them in our prep time, like, what's the thing? What's the thing you got to tell people? Like, you know, so you come back and you condense it down. How hard is that going to be? So, Maddie, what is the one thing that you're like, they have to know this? They have to know that what I saw and what I experienced.
Speaking overall, it's the love of God. And that is a thing that transformed my heart. And I saw transform the lives of those that I met the most. And one of the ways I saw that lived out was in the children that I met in Africa. They would be considered the lowest of the lows according to the world standard. But in Matthew, we learn that these are the people that God says the kingdom belongs to. And so just getting to spend days and hours with them and seeing how joyful they are and how excited they are to see us, and they trust us so quickly, and they just like laugh endlessly, and they love, and they're not judgmental but so welcoming, just like really showed me more of the Father's heart, and then challenged me to walk more in like childlike faith and love and life that I saw them walk in.
How about you, Nate? What's one thing that really stands out?
I would say amongst this whole trip with so many ups and downs and different things and so many different experiences and ways we are serving and just different countries, cultures, languages, I would say a big takeaway from me this past year was just idea of life not being about me. That in all of the things that were hard, that were uncomfortable, that were a struggle, that if I change my mindset to say, this isn't about me, so, like, don't worry so much about this, or stop complaining so much about this, it really changes your mindset. And then also in the way as well of just not, like, I don't want to say, like, it was just learning how to deal with things, but also in the sense of it's not about you and how, like, it takes the pressure off you in your work and in your life. Like, who should your life be about was something that the Lord was asking me. And it should be about him. And so as we had all these experiences and did things and we're just getting really good practice at what it looks like to live my life with my eyes up, looking at the people around me who are lost, and looking at God and what he's created, and just seeing him and stop like focusing on me, picking my head up to just see that like my priorities, my likes, my comforts, my desires, to put that away and just to see what it looks like to live my life on mission for the Lord and to build his kingdom. And so that was just a huge impact on my life. And I just challenge all of you guys, even in this next week, for what does it look like for you to tell yourself it's not about me? In every situation where you're like, man, that's not fun. That's uncomfortable. I don't like how they did this. Say to yourself, it's not about me. And it will change your perspective on your life, and it will change your relationship with the Lord, because he is calling you to die to yourself. That's something I learned this past year. And it's in those ways, it's hard to die to yourselves in big ways, but in your mindset is where it all begins. And so this idea of just humbling yourself, like Philippians 2 calls us to do, like have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. So just embracing that, and just, so I challenge you, all of you guys, with that this week, because I want to make this trip more about just what I did and just telling you guys about my experience, but I want it to have implications on your life as well.
Maddie, Isaiah 52 talks about beautiful feet, right? Which is, I love it because it's just uncomfortable to say because feet are not beautiful, right? And so, but you too have beautiful feet. You come back with news of victory, news of peace, news of joy. Can you tell us a story of victory, a story of gospel fruit?
Yes. So a lot of what my squad experience was seed planting, and sometimes that was hard because it was like, I just want to see like fruit from what like we're reaping and harvesting. But it caused us also to like step back, and like Nate said, it wasn't about us and like what we were doing, but the working of the Holy Spirit. And so I was kind of just like talking about this with my squad mentor one day, and I was like, Lewis, I really just want to like be part of a salvation. Like, we are international for like one more week. Can we, or maybe a month at that point, can I just like be a part of one? And he was like, okay, then let's pray for it. Hmm. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. And so we both just like started praying that the Lord would allow me to be a part or like a witness to someone's salvation. And so it was an ATL day, which stands for Ask the Lord. And I was with two of my teammates, and we were going through the, like walking around the city. And we walked past this man. His name is, I refer to him as Bong because African names are really hard to remember. But we walked past him and we're just like, hi, how are you today? And he like greets us back, but we continue walking. And then one of my teammates says, I think we need to like go back and talk to him. And so we go, we meet this other person, we have a conversation with them, and then on our way back, we see him on the other side of the street. And so we go and we introduce him, and the first thing that kind of stuck out was there's these three white American girls approaching this like maybe 50s African man, and he wasn't like confused at all. And so it was already showing that like the Holy Spirit was at work in his heart. And so we started talking to him and just had a conversation, got to know him a little bit because he spoke English, thankfully. And I had the gift of sharing the gospel with him. And afterwards, he responded by like saying, like, I want to like follow Jesus and put my trust in him. And so I was just like, anybody else seeing this? Like, what's happening? And so then we're like, okay, well, there's not like a certain like specific words you have to say or anything. Just like tell God and like share your heart with him. And so he prayed in Siswati, which is the local language there, and heard like a couple words I knew of God and Jesus. And afterwards, his like face just like looked different. Like, you could see that there was like life and joy that like he didn't have before, and just like he was excited. And we read John 1 together, and then he was asking questions like, who is Satan? And just like questions that matter, and was just like already hungry for more of the Lord. And then about a week later, we saw him again in the same spot, and so we went over and talked to him, and then he just, like, looked. He was, like, the same person that we had left, just, like, filled with joy and excitement and hunger for the Lord.
Awesome. So we are we're starting to encroach on the sermon time, but I want to give glory to God in these evangelism counters, because after all, when we send people to the mission field, there's 10 support workers maybe for every person on the front line, but we had two that were on the front line. So, Nate, can you share with us a story where you saw the gospel take wings?
Yes. So in South Africa, we spent a lot of our time working at the school, but one day on Saturday, we went around with a local there who we'd been working with, and we were going to go evangelize on the street. And it was pretty easy there without a language barrier, because everyone spoke English. And so we're just walking around talking to people. And eventually, there's a man sitting in a parking lot that we're just crossing through, just kind of sitting there. Doesn't really look all the way there. He kind of looks down, staring at the ground. And in front of him, there are all these herbs and medicines and things that he's selling. And we figure out after talking to him that he's a Rastafarian. And they have a whole bunch of religious beliefs, and they believe in a lot of power of herbs and things, and they worship a man somewhere in Ethiopia that died, but just not the truth. And the guy we were with was actually a Rastafarian before he came to the Lord. And so he was able to share with him and like connect with him in a way of like, I was in your place one time, and I was following this, but like, this is not the truth, and you are living in like darkness here. And as we shared with him the gospel, even then he was still like just kind of staring at the ground. He didn't say very much, and we were kind of like, oh, okay, I guess like we'll be faithful to share with him, but he's kind of just not responding. But then After some amount of time, he still wants to kind of talk to us. And so we're sharing with him and kind of talking more about his religion, what he believes and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of changes his countenance. And he starts listening more. And we kind of like repeat the gospel to him again. And just sharing it with him, like the darkness that he's walking into, but that there's freedom found in Jesus. And he looks up at us at some point and is like, I had a vision of you guys standing before me. And I'm like, what? And I'm still like, did I hear that right? Like, this guy, he just told me he had a vision of us standing before him. And we were like, what do you mean? And he was like, yeah, I had a vision a couple days ago that you guys would be standing in front of me right here, telling me about Jesus. And we were just like, wow. Just a testament to how the Holy Spirit was going before us to work in this man's life. And I don't know what you guys all believe about the Holy Spirit and his workings, but that was crazy. And I had never kind of seen anything like that. And so as we continue talking to him more, now we're like fully engaged. And he decides he wants to follow the Lord. And he prays one of the most beautiful prayers I've ever heard from someone who just heard about this and was not being led by us. Like telling the Lord of his sin and wanting to repent and wanting to follow him for the rest of his life. And then as he like wants to kind of end the conversation, he's trying to go somewhere. He gets up and he like balls up all of his stuff that he's selling and he's like, I'm going to leave it here. And we're like, are you sure? Like, he was like, yeah, I don't need this anymore. And like, it was expensive. It's stuff that he's selling. It's like his livelihood. And he's just like, I don't need it anymore. And just like, also another aspect of like, he was just left his old life behind. Leaving that like stuff that was even valuable, but he would leave that behind because his life was changed. So that was just such a testament to like, God working in the hearts of those that are lost, and that he just used us to speak to him and how dramatically his life was changed. And we got to follow up with him afterwards at times and invite him to church and just see like how different his life was. And he was no longer like kind of sullen, and he was bright. And he had just left behind all that he was doing. And so that was just an incredible story of God preparing the way for us.
All right. Well, there's so much more. Suzanne and I have had a front row seat for more of the texture, and I haven't had as much of a front row seat with Maddie. I can't wait to hear more of what you learned. Is there anything you want to say to our people this morning?
Yes. Thank you so much for allowing the Lord to use you as his vessels in sending us, because we would not be able to go without you. We may be the people that God allowed to go this time, but without you and the financial help and prayers that you provided for us, and none of this would have been possible. So thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. It was such a blessed year, and it cannot have been done without your guys' faithfulness to give and to invest in us. As I look out in the crowd, I see so many people over all the years I've had here who've also just invested in me and spent time with me in the Awanas and CSB and youth group, and it's been such a blessing, and to see all that, to see me be able to be sent out, and to like have that investment. I don't want to say paid off and kind of brag, but it was an incredible year and a blessed year and just life changing. So thank you so much.
One last thing, and we'll give my hand at the end. So these two took a step of faith. So now I'm talking to maybe the 30 and under crowd here that are making decisions about their life still. Okay, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago when we preached. Sometimes when you ask young people, "Hey, what comes next?" and they have a plan, what comes next? They're gonna go back and they're gonna find their mission field here locally as they go back to their studies. But so many times you ask that question, I get the deer in the headlights look because you don't know, and it makes sense that you don't know. So you two, I want to use this point of praise for you two, my point of admiration, and I want it to apply to you. Jumped off the bus. You said, hey, I know that this is what the next step is. This is what the Lord has. This is what the world says I need to do. This is the next step in my development. And you jumped off the bus. You said, no, I'm not doing that. Okay? Do you have an ounce of regret in you for jumping off the bus?
Nope.
No.
Take the jump. This congregation will support you. It will be life-changing, and college can wait. The workplace can wait. It will transform your life, and you will be that much closer to what Jesus planned for you to become. Okay? So thank you, you two. That was awesome. That was even better than I thought it was going to go. All right. You stay up here with me. I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray over our service. And now Pastor Dave has 7 minutes to preach, and it's going to be fantastic. No, we're staying here for a while, people. This is going to be great. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, you tell us, you told us in the words of Isaiah that how beautiful it is upon the mountains at the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Father, we declare that you reign. You reign over the whole entire earth. Lord, thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be ascending body, Lord. Thank you for the heritage we have in this church. May that DNA never change. Lord, may it evolve. May it look a little bit different in the where's and the why's and the who's, Lord. But may we never, never grow old of hearing these praise reports. May our hearts never just go shrug our metaphorical shoulders when we hear news of lives changed. Lord, both the lies of the sent and the lies of those who they received. Father, may these gospel conversations take fruit. Lord, I want to lift up to just this this collection of young people that made a decision for you to take a step forward for you. So, Lord, I just boldly say, even without asking their permission, Lord, I am just asking you to work in the heart of Ella, in the heart of Maddie, in the heart of Chastity, in Matthew, Lord, in Bella, Scarlett, in the life and the heart of Gavin, in Eduardo and in Ernesto. Lord, I just cherish that step of faith that they took. And Lord, will you nourish them? Will you grow them deep roots in you, Lord? For those of them that are really just struggling with a point of struggle in their sin, Lord, would you just clean that out of their lives? Would they cling to the cross? Father, thank you for this body. Thank you for all of the good news that we've shared this morning. And may you carry it to completion. Lord, quiet our hearts as we open up your word and as we pause here in 1 Peter and just smile upon your goodness to us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So what should I do now? One of the challenges of these 6 weeks of messages on questions that people are asking the pastors that is now over 40 that I've received either in the email or through the office is how are we going to pick six? The second challenge is that when I take one topic for a Sunday, how do I fit it into a 50-minute sermon and now a 20-minute sermon? That's something that I desperately need the Lord's help for and your patience. So we're going to ask him to bless the reading of his word. We're going to ask him to give me the words to say in brief. We're going to remind you that God has already spoken very clearly today, has he not? And you have heard the gospel today. You have heard the transformation that takes place in the life of young people because they have been obedient and faithful. You have heard the impact that two people can make and the impact of a student life camp can make upon 50 and especially in the lives of 10. You have heard things that I studied for 7 months to preach this message that I could not convey the passion and the heart that was just displayed when God takes a life and changes it. I couldn't do that. That's only something he can do. But I also believe he does have a word for us today. So we are going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are going to read the word and we are going to listen to what God has to say for us. And this is a good test that you've worshiped in music, we've worshiped in prayer, we've worshiped in testimony, and now we're going to worship in the word. And it is my prayer that not one of you is thinking, boy, this is taking longer than I thought. It would be my prayer that along with me, that each one of you would think to yourself, oh my goodness, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, this is a special place. This is your church. This is your plan that the word would be preached faithfully week in, week out. It is your plan that we would be here for this moment. This is not an accident. And while I will be mindful of the time, may we not rush the Lord and what he has to say today. We have already been blessed beyond our wildest imaginations in some ways, hearing these testimonies of these two young people. And let me just say in closing on that part, those comments that Maddie and Nate were making are in part because of your faithfulness to send them. And Chris is 100% right. If there's any young people or an older person that says, I'm getting off the bus and I'm going to go here or there to serve Jesus Christ and to make an impact for his kingdom, your church family will stand behind you no matter what it takes. Because this is the end game of our preaching, the glory of God, God proclaimed through the word of God to people that don't know him. So I pray that you're excited and you're now thinking, give me more, Pastor Dave. And the good news is that the passage we're going to read is about as good as it gets. This is how good this passage is. I don't even have to do anything but read it, I don't think. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We will begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Let's pray. Our Father, you have blessed us this morning in ways that we may not have expected. You have given us a glimpse at what can happen when people take a step of faith and are willing to be sent out of their comfort zone, away from their family, away from their comfortable confines, away from their plans, and to trust and obey the call of you upon their lives for this season. Father, thank you for that glimpse. Thank you for the obedience of not only Nate and Maddie, but of so many young people that are looking at different ways to serve you, Father, and also all of our missionaries here at Perry Hall Baptist Church, the people that you give us a privilege to serve with our resources and our prayers and our support. Father, thank you for them and their willingness to step out and to be sent. Some being in the mission field for 30 or 40 years. Some spending 9 months like Maddie and Nate. Some on weekly journeys. In all of these cases, Lord, that the name of Jesus Christ would be preached and proclaimed and trusted by the hearers so that you will bring new life into the life of those that listen. Father, thank you for these glimpses. Thank you for your patience with us as we muddle through our culture, our settings, our comforts. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that has been given to each one here. Thank you, Father, for most of all your love for us, that you have given us new life. You have, through your mercy, because of your mercy, given us new hearts. We are new creations. Thank you for that, Father. And may now, as we celebrate this beautiful thing called an inheritance, may we be overjoyed. Father, may it be a motivation to run after you. May it change our thinking on our current circumstances. May it allow us to think on things above and not on things of this earth. Father, use the next few moments, short as it may be, to transform our minds and hearts in such a way that we become bold ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Question number two is based on the idea of our inheritance. Our inheritance. The question, and by the way, that is a theme word in all of Scripture. We use that word regularly in our society. We know what an inheritance is. We know that some people get big inheritances. We know that some people get small. We may not know that the average American doesn't get any. But nonetheless, we know what the word means. We know that it means for an estate of one person to be left to their family. It's to be passed on. We inherit. Could be money, could be property, could be other things. Sometimes we use this word to even talk about not money, not an estate, but you may take over a new position at a job and they may say you've inherited a good group of people to work with. Or you may have inherited a bunch of challenges. We use that word regularly. The Bible also uses the word inheritance regularly. Now you say, why would anybody have a question about the word inheritance? We all know what it means. Well, one reason we would ask that question is because if we really understood inheritance, it would change your life. You would not be the same person walking out of here today if the Lord would give you the grace to see what he means by inheritance. You would be different. When you became a Christian, you received an inheritance. In a big picture, you could say, I received salvation and all the blessings that come with it. That would be good. You may answer somewhat casually, well, my inheritance is heaven, and that would be good. But there's things we're missing on this question of inheritance. But if you look at the verse that mentions it in our reading, I do not have time to exposit this whole text, but I did want to give you the context. The verse we're focusing on is verse 4. And it says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And the person that wrote the question, and I don't know who wrote the question or sent the question, they're asking, is salvation and inheritance synonymous? And why would our salvation, their question, have to be guarded? These are good questions, and the text answers that for us. So in the Bible, we have, throughout the Old Testament, we have the idea of Abraham was promised an inheritance. Abraham and through him, the Jewish people were promised a land and a seed, and that through him, all the people of the world would be blessed. It was a promised inheritance, and ultimately, that promise was the promised land, a physical place. There is a promise of eternal life in Matthew 19:29. There's a promise, or you could look at that in even John 3:16. There's a promised inheritance of eternal life. You inherit eternal life when you become a believer. Eternal life not only being forever, but bigger than that, a kind of life, a quality of life, a life of God living through you. So the Bible speaks of the promised land. The Bible speaks of an inheritance of all the land that was given to Israel. The Bible speaks that each tribe was given its portion or its or its possession, the land. That's how the Bible speaks. The Bible also speaks that you inherit salvation, Hebrews 1:14. That's one of the things, that the way the Bible speaks, that that's your inheritance. The Bible speaks that we inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew 25:34. So the Bible is using this term in ways that we understand and given us lots of ways to look at what we inherit as believers. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs, it speaks in 13:22 of a righteous man gives his inheritance to his children. That fits with what we understand. So today, what I would like to do in just a few minutes of time is speak not to define the inheritance, but to give us a biblical glimpse or perception of what God means when he talks about that inheritance. Colossians 1:5 says it's a hope laid up for us in heaven. What is that like? So if you have your notes, I've broken this message into three brief parts, speaking of inheritance. Again, encourage you, even if you don't need this to take notes, even if you're not going to write on the sheet, please grab the sermon notes, and you will see that the outline today is this question of inheritance, and it has three pieces: a promised inheritance, a preserved inheritance. And these two, even those two terms right there, kind of give you a glimpse at what the Lord is trying to say about his inheritance. And it's a preserved inheritance, and then it's a precious inheritance. Folks, I don't know what it's going to take for me and for you to jump out of our seats today. But if you see this and I see this, we're going to jump. You're going to say, don't stop now, we're just getting going. And yes, we're only doing 1 week. Let's go back to the text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, verse 3, Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. And here's why Peter is writing of this glorious faith. Now keep in mind, Peter, we know this guy. He is quite a character. Peter's had his ups and downs. Peter's the one that denied Christ. He's the one that was restored on the beach. He's the one that God used to make a difference in the early church. He's the one writing this book, and he's writing to people. Look at verse 6. Listen to the group. Listen to the people he's writing to. And this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is writing, folks, listen, we can relate. He is writing to people that are being persecuted, in some cases violent persecution. He is writing to people who are maligned, shamed, reviled, opposed, rejected. They are living in trials. The entire book of 1 Peter is talking about the difficulty of living in the early church, a challenge to people all across the world now, and in some of the places even where Nate and Maddie went, but now encroaching upon the freedom that we have in this country. The culture is changing. There is a growing hostility each and every day. We see it all around us of the culture we live in. It is anti everything that Christ says. We understand that. And so we can relate to the words of Peter, who, contrary to the famous Karl Marx, who said religion, you all know this, is simply the what of the people. Opiate. Religion is a manipulative tool to simply make us feel good so we can be controlled, Karl Marx said. In stark contrast to that, Peter says, oh no. The very persecution, the very pain, the very suffering you're going through is not a sign that God has forgotten you, but a sign that the persecution, better yet, the trials the suffering, the pain you're going through is not a sign that he has forgotten you or can't help. It's actually a tool of the work he is doing in your life. The world we live, listen folks, the world we live in is broken because of sin. That means that relationships are often painful. People hurt us or let us down. People can make fun of us. We can struggle with anxiety. We struggle with depression. We lose loved ones. Life doesn't turn out the way we want, and on and on. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, it's temporary. This is not your home, Paul says in Philippians 3:20. You are a citizen of another country. You are just passing through. And as Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest theologians, said, when you are going through life on your way to an incredible destination, anybody been somewhere really nice? I mean, as earth would give you, the best of the best, whatever that looks like to you. And Edward said, you stop at a wayside inn along the way. You're on your way to the most beautiful resort in the world. But on the way, you stop at a little wayside inn and you spend the night. He said, what person that really knew the destination would decide to stay in that wayside inn and make it their permanent residence? Who would do that? You'd get out of that little wayside inn and you'd take off to that future destination, wouldn't you? The believer, we are holding so much on to this broken world, we have forgotten the truth that we know well, that this is not our home. So in the context of a suffering group of believers, and consequently over the centuries, all believers that have struggled either by persecution for our faith, even the suffering simply for being in a broken world, Peter has a word to encourage us. Isn't it wonderful? And he starts off, because it's so praiseworthy, with praise to God. He then talks about the reason that we, in any kind of suffering, can be excited, be encouraged. No matter what you're going through, you can be encouraged, because this is just a short season of life, this suffering world, this broken world, because God has something planned for us that's beyond our wildest imagination. This is the way that Paul Tripp says it. God has not left you to secure your future. Think of that. God has not left us to secure our future, because he has already secured it. And it's more glorious than anything you could have ever thought of. And I can assure you, there's nothing on this earth that could go wrong, that when you look at what's coming, and when we understand what's coming, that won't change your perspective on the short-term suffering. That is not to say they didn't hurt. It is not to say they weren't grieved. It is not to say that you and I don't endure pain, big pain, medium pain, not so big pain. That's life. But he's not surprised by it, and nor is he out of control. And better than that, he is using every bit of it for his own glory and for your good. Praise God for that. That changes how you look at your anxieties. It changes how you go through depression, and we do. It changes how you suffer the loss of a loved one or the breaking of a relationship. It hurts, doesn't it? But it's not the end of the story, Peter says, because he's got something you can't even imagine. And these are evidences, not of his absence, but these life struggles are evidence of his love for you. And he says, in the context of that, I've given you an inheritance. And he said, it's a promised inheritance. It's a preserved inheritance. It is a precious inheritance. When we say it is a promised inheritance, Hebrews 9:15, you say, Dave, where did you get it was promised? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:15, because I'm a good Bible student, Hebrews 9:15, your inheritance is promised. He promised it. He doesn't break his promises. In 1st chapter of Ephesians, verse 1:11, chapter 1, verse 11, Ephesians 1:11, talks about this inheritance that is ours because we are in Christ. Verse 14 goes even farther to say that our inheritance in heaven is not only promised, but it is secured by the Holy Spirit himself, who is a deposit or a guarantee or an earnest payment or a down payment. Securing the inheritance that is promised to all of us is so guaranteed, 2 Corinthians 1:21, he is the pledge, the spirit of our inheritance. And when God makes a pledge, he will keep that pledge. And so this inheritance that Peter is giving by way of an encouragement to people that are hurting, and by 2,000 years later to this group at Perry Hall to be encouraged, this inheritance that I'm describing is promised to you. It is indestructible. Elliot Clark, in his wonderful book, Evangelism as Exiles, says that the book of 1 Peter is a book of how Christians have an indestructible future glory. In addition to that, it is good. It is good. We can clap in a minute. It is good. I'm glad there's people that are awake sometimes. There's an indestructible glory that awaits us. And not only is it promised, it is a promised reward, Colossians 3:24, but it is a promised glory. Now look with me at verse 7. The end of us, you have 6, says, in these trials that you face, so that, verse 7, that the tested genuineness, so trials have a way of proving our faith, how you respond in the trials and troubles of your life are evidences of where your faith is. And then he goes on, may be found in verse 7, to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this verse, the resulting praise, honor, and glory is not to Jesus, although that is true. It is a praise, honor, and glory for us. This promised inheritance, folks, is the glory that we received, will receive. You know that Romans 8:29 and 30 says he justified those he chose, he justified, and it ends with he glorified. There is a future glory for the believer. Elliot Clark goes on in his wonderful book to say, this truth about every believer receiving exaltation, glory, honor, and praise. First, Colossians 1:5 calls it the hope of glory. That he says it almost sounds blasphemous because it's so good to be true. That inheritance that is promised, this hope of glory, this eternal treasure that is ours, is partly, it includes, we will be honored and praised in glory. And you say, Pastor, that sounds off. Well, let me help you. This promised inheritance. Did you all know that Romans 8:17 says that we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with who? Did you know? Wake up. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are a joint heir of Jesus Christ, and Hebrews 1:12 tells us Jesus' inheritance. If you knew this verse by heart, you'd already be jumping. It says Jesus is the heir of all things, and I'm with him as a joint heir. That means we've inherited everything. That Jesus, as the son of Adam, has inherited universal dominion. As the son of Abraham, he is an heir to the promise. As the son of David, he's heir to a throne. And as the son of God, he's the heir to everything. And we're his heir. We are in it with him. Peter is telling us and those Christians, no matter what life is like, no matter what you go through, take heart, because he has promised you everything. For his glory. Folks, this is as good as it gets. The second, it's preserved. It is preserved. And look at verse 4 again. To an inheritance that is imperishable. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. It's not susceptible to decay, is the Greek word. It won't go away. It's eternal. It's preserved because it can't die. It's imperishable. Number two, it's this reserved, preserved promise of inheritance, this preserved inheritance, is undefiled. It means it is pure. It's pure. It can't have any evil or sin in it. It goes on to say, and it's unfading. Just look over at verse 22, this idea of unfading. Same chapter. Having purified our souls, chapter 1, verse 22, your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love from one another, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Look, since you have been born again, people say, are you one of those born again people? Well, yes. Well, that's like a new thing, isn't it? No, it's 2,000 years old. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night, and Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what in the world? Go back into my mother's womb. And you got to wonder what Jesus' expression was when he heard that. It had to be close to, are you really a leader? We're talking, Nicodemus, about spiritual things. You're dead. And you need to be born again. We've been born again by the glorious work of Jesus Christ and the Spirit in us. But listen here, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. And now look, all flesh, quoting from, this is Isaiah 40, 6 to 8. All flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. Praise God. But in addition to that, the same phrase, your inheritance can't fade. Your inheritance is forever. It will not fade away like the flower or wither like the grass. And then to keep this idea preserved, this is why Elliot Clark calls this an indestructible future of the believer. Look at the end of verse 4. It is kept in heaven for you. It is preserved. It is guarded. Listen, dear ones. No matter what the enemy whispers in your ear, no matter the battle with sin that you have, if you are his, you are always his. Your inheritance is forever. It is indestructible, not because of your willpower, but because of the promise of Jesus Christ. Your inheritance is forever. Amen is right. But it gets even better than that. This preserved inheritance is not just for all that comes with heaven. The idea that we will be crowned with his crown. We will hold the scepter. We will have his presence. We will have peace and joy and beyond anything we can imagine. Revelation talks about there will be no temple in heaven. Well, what in the world? There's no temple in heaven. That's because he is the temple. Being with him. I wish I could say more, but I'll give you this last piece about preserved verse 5. This is not talking about guarded or protected in the sense of it's lost. This is a confidence builder that we can learn that our hope is a certainty. Listen to verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded or protected or shielded. So not only is the inheritance that awaits every believer and is experienced even in the here and now as we live with him every day, but you and me, in addition to our inheritance, we've been guarded. And folks, when he's guarding you, you're in good shape. When he's your shield and he's your protector and your keeper. This is the end of Jude says, unto him that is able to keep us from falling. So it is a promised inheritance. It is a preserved inheritance. And let me finish. It is a precious inheritance. Do you all know, and I'm really shortening this up, this last piece should be a whole message. Run home and study this inheritance piece. But the reason I call it a precious inheritance, because with the long list of what comes with the blessings of a future inheritance, realize now and fully in the future, all the things that come with that, there is something even better. This is why it's precious. In the Old Testament, when Israel went to the Promised Land, you can read about this in Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. They were given an apportioned piece of land, an inheritance. They were given a portion. They were given a heritage. They were given their land. Guess what happened to the priest? The priest got squat. It appears. It says in Deuteronomy 18:1, no land was given to the priest. Why? Because he would be their portion. The inheritance is better than all the blessings and benefits and gifts. The inheritance matters more because of the giver. Lamentations 3:23, we all know it so well because we sing, great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast Lord of the love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Everybody knows that. And then the next verse says what? The Lord is my portion. Psalm 16:5, just write it down. Psalm 16:5 says this. The inheritance is God himself. Believer, the reason that this promised inheritance, that this preserved inheritance, this guaranteed inheritance by the Spirit, and by the way, I could do more P's, but the reason it's precious, because beyond everything I've said today, heaven as an inheritance is precious because Jesus is there. And if you're looking forward to heaven for all the benefits, that's okay. But let me encourage you, look forward to heaven and your inheritance because Jesus will be there. And the hope of eternal life is Jesus. The inheritance is Jesus. And it's guarded, not because it could be lost, but as a reminder to me that it will be there for us waiting. And we enjoy little glimpses of it now. It's been said that even the most mature Christian is still just starting to learn their alphabets in their Christian education. You and I got down A, B, C, D, maybe. We don't have any idea what it will learn, what will happen when we learn E, F, G, H. We've been given first fruits, a taste, but it's nothing like the entire thing. Oh, believers, could we live today with a sense of what's ahead and don't miss a moment as we look forward to that, living life like strangers, exiles in a foreign land with the best news in the world to share with people. And last thought, if you don't know Jesus Christ today in a saving way, you do not have this inheritance, nor do you have him. The only thing that is certain for you is a forever hell and separation from God. Oh, if you're on the fence, if you don't know this truth, please see us afterwards. We'd love to tell you about this Christ who is our inheritance. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beauty of this passage. Father, forgive us for maybe not giving its due. But Father, I think if we're honest, we've seen a glimpse of what you have for us, a salvation that can't be lost, an inheritance that is promised and preserved, but an inheritance that is precious because at the middle, at the center, at the core, it is all you, Jesus. And Father, if a tenth of your inheritance were given to all the angels, there would still be riches untold. Father, may we get a glimpse of our inheritance in you. Father, thank you for in your final prayer, telling your Father, may the people, my people, Jesus said, may they have the glory that I have. Thank you, Father, for making us your heirs and joint heirs with our Savior and Lord. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, may the thought of missing out and spending eternity in hell cause them, by the power of your Spirit, to cry out to the living God that they might be born again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand and sing with us?
What you have spoken will come to pass. What you have started will come at last. No need to see.
In him. Oh my goodness, folks. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Praise God. May we go out of here. May we go out of here as the most joyful, excited people in the world. We have something to say, don't we? Oh, may we not shy away because of those goofy fears that we all have of telling this amazing news. And I'm going to have you think about something when you leave here today. We'll come back to this. Is it really fear that keeps us from sharing the gospel? Or is it a lack of love? Is it fear of rejection and ridicule and ostracization or whatever the word is? Or is it, do we love the people enough to share the only news that will save their lives? Let's share about this inheritance. Lord, as we go our way, would you do something special today? May we be excited to share that our inheritance is not our 401ks, it's not our second homes. Lord, it's not all the things that are blessings and deeds and we should think about. But may we remember that Jesus is our inheritance, and I want other people to know him too. May you be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.